If you've been unfaithful steward for the last 5 years, you cannot change the last 5 years, but you can turn the next 5 years into a doozy.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's hope for prodigal stewards.
You cannot fix yesterday, but you can make tomorrow so strong it'll override yesterday.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The expression water under the bridge is used when something is past fixing, when it's so far downstream that we can't get it back. But today, Dr. Evans explains why we're never too far gone for God as we take a look at how to get back on track as good stewards. It's the final lesson in his special series on the principles of Christian stewardship. And later on, I'll tell you about your last chance to get Volume 2 of this powerful collection on CD as our gift. Right now, though, let's join Dr. Evans as he begins in Matthew chapter 25.
The job, the responsibility of the stewards was to faithfully manage and invest what belonged to the master so that upon his return, they would be able to show how the master benefited from the trust that he gave over to the steward. The key issue here was faithfulness. And the responsibility of a steward is to be found faithful. So what did the first two do? Verse 16, immediately the one who had received five went out and traded with them and he gained five more. He started with five, now he has 10. In the same manner, that means immediately, the second one who had received two talents, he went out and gained two more. So he now started with two, he has four. In other words, the first two took their stewardship seriously. But there is this third shiftless dude, the one that received one talent. Verse 18. But the one who received the one talent went away, dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. Let me talk about this third steward. Let me tell you something about him. Number one, he prioritized his plans over his master's plans. He was into my world, my life, my time, my money, my goals, my future, my energy. Are there any Christians like that in the house? He says he prioritizes his plans over his master's because he took the master's talent and he hid that, but he kept going his own way. Secondly, he chose the easy path that had no risk. He said, now, wait a minute. I got this stuff my master has given me. I'm going to put it in the ground because my master may not be coming back. He may have gone on a trip. And he may be gone forever. He may get killed somewhere else. I'm not going to break my neck for the master who may or may not return. However, he might return. In case he does return, I'm going to hide this thing in the ground. So at least if he shows up, I didn't gain anything, but I didn't lose anything either. He was not confident in his master's return. Now, let me tell you what was really bad. This is a deep one. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Look what Jesus says in verse 27. When he condemns him, which we'll look at in more detail in a moment, he says, you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have had my money back with interest. Now, here's my question. Why do you think the slave put it in the ground rather than taking it to the bank? I'll tell you why. Banks keep records. Don't think that coming in church saying, praise the Lord, ain't God good. Coming into church with a Bible under your arm and maybe tears rolling down your face and getting all excited in worship that you fool God because he knows whether you have it on record or not, what you're really doing and what you're not doing. He didn't take seriously the coming of God. His theology did not affect his actions. Verse 24. And the one who had one talent received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. You're rough. Reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. In other words, you're a hard taskmaster. You have high expectations. He said, so I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. What you fussing about? At least I didn't lose it. I'm fussing because you didn't use it. He was listening to the message that God has high expectations. He's a hard master. Yes, he demands much. He says, now if you know that about me, then don't tell me you are afraid. Don't allow your theology to nullify your actions. It's a call to a responsibility that has a long-term perspective because God has given us a stewardship. The second point is our accountability. Verse 19 tells us, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Now the question is, do I believe that? Is there a time of accountability? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The master comes back. Notice what he does in chapter 25 with the first guy. The first guy with 5 talents, he says, master, you gave me 5 and here's how I used them for your glory and for your kingdom. And the master said to him, well done, good and, here's the word, faithful. You had a pattern, faithful servant. The issue is faithfulness. Can he trust you when you're not being reminded every week? Can he trust you when nobody's preaching at you? When you're not hearing a testimony about a miracle? Can he trust you when, yes, things go awry? Are you in this for the long term or was this a flash in the pan? Only time will tell that. Because for those who caught it, you will transmute your funds. What God is saying with regard to money is that you are to transmute it. That is, use it in time for eternity. So when you get to eternity, you'll have things there that money can't buy for up there because you already used it for something that does have value up there. That is the transmutation of money. For example, let's say you were living in the South during the Civil War. When the Civil War was about to come to an end, you're living in the South, okay? But your home is in the North, and it becomes obvious the North is going to win the war. But you stuck here in the South with Confederate currency that will be of absolutely no use once the war is over because you're going to have to go to U.S. currency because the North will have won. Well, if you're a smart person and you know the North is going to win and you're stuck here in the South with Confederate money that will be absolutely no good, then the smart person will begin before the war is over to exchange Confederate money for U.S. currency so that when the war is over, he has stuff he can use when he goes North. Well, right now, Christians, we're living in the South. But when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to translate us north. And the only currency that will work up there is that which was exchanged down here for that which has eternal value up there. It must be transmuted. God uses money as an indicator of other things. Because God knows that where a person sends their money is a key indicator of their priorities and their character. You show me your checkbook and I'll tell you the kind of Christian you are. Because the Bible says where a man's treasure is, his heart will follow his checkbook. And that's why money is used so much as an indicator light of where a person stands spiritually. And so Jesus Christ gives these 3 men according to their ability. Now, you know what that means? It means that Jesus Christ knows each of us intimately. And knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And he gives us based on our ability. That's why you won't get more unless God feels like he can trust you with more. You can pray till you're blue in the face, but if God knows if he gives you more, he can't trust you with it, then why should he entrust you with it? And so, the talents represent all that God has given us since salvation, time, talents, and treasures. It belongs to God. There was equal responsibility, but various differing levels of resources. The responsibility of the stewards was to faithfully manage and invest what belonged to the master so that upon his return, they would be able to show how the master benefited from the trust that he gave over to the steward. The key issue here was faithfulness. Let me say a word about faithfulness. The Bible makes it clear that a steward is to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it's expected of a steward that he would be faithful. Faithful does not deal with perfection. Faithful deals with pattern. None of us here is perfect. That does not excuse our imperfections, but when God reviews your tape, and he does have a tape with your name on it, he will look at the pattern of your tape. Yes, there's going to be a glitch here and a glitch there. Yes, there's going to be a failure here and a failure there. But when God reviews the tape, he's going to notice the pattern. Could he normally count on you to use your time, your talents, and your treasures for the benefit of his glory and the expansion of his kingdom? So don't go around saying, I'm imperfect. Ask the question, what is my pattern? Because that's the issue of faithfulness. A father one day was rushing to go to work and he had to catch a train. And so he rushed, picked up his suitcase because it was getting close. He didn't know whether he was going to make it or not. He ran outside and his little boy, it had rained the night before, was playing in the mud just outside of the back door. As he ran outside of the house and tried to step over his son, he slipped and he fell in the mud. He's all dirty and yucky. He looked at his son and then he looked at his watch. He got up out of the dirt, dusted himself off, picked up his suitcase and started moving again for the train. There was a fundamental difference between the boy and the father. The boy was in the dirt, playing in the dirt, comfortable in the dirt, loving the dirt, using the dirt. The father slipped in the dirt. But the father had a train to catch, so he didn't stay in the dirt. Some of you here today are in the dirt and loving it. You playing in the dirt, rubbing with the dirt, or just having a good time in the dirt. That's going to show up on the tape. Others of us have slipped in the dirt. The difference between a faithful man and an unfaithful man is he, one, recognizes he's in the dirt, and two, recognizes he's got a train to catch. He knows that the judgment seat of Christ is coming, and when he sees the dirt, he says, I can't be caught here with this dirt on my tape. Let me get up and catch my train. I got a train to catch. Brothers and sisters, you have a train to catch because you're going somewhere. You're going to face Christ, and this is your life. There's a big difference between falling in the dirt and living there. And the responsibility of a steward is to be found faithful. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence, for there will be great reward. We have a job to do. Let's get busy. Let's go out and give some time for the kingdom. Let's use some skill for the kingdom. And let's put some resources in the kingdom, because this is not ours. It's his.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a personal example of what it feels like to be left in the outer darkness. But first, what you're hearing today is the final part of Tony's popular series, Principles of Christian Stewardship. And today's your last chance to get all 8 messages in Volume 2 of this collection on CD as our gift to anyone who comes alongside our ministry with a contribution of any amount. We'll send it to you with our thanks, along with a daily devotional book called 30 Days to Financial Victory. Each day for a month, it provides insights from Dr. Evans on why nothing we have is really our own, what money is for, what God wants us to do with it, and the rewards that come with managing our finances His way. There's also a money management tip of the day that'll lead you step by step toward financial freedom. Principles of Christian Stewardship and 30 Days to Financial Victory. Yours with our thanks when you call or go online and support the ministry of The Alternative with a gift of any amount, but only if we hear from you today. So don't wait. Visit us at TonyEvans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have our contact information again for you later on. Right now, though, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
Jonathan, he had a spring football game. Second play of the game, he was supposed to block the defensive end, and he missed the block. The coach was ticked off at him for missing that block. Had a great game otherwise, but he missed the block. He came to me after the game and said, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. I said, why, Jonathan? And this is what he said, because they might show the tape. coach has already chewed me out, but we're going to be sitting there in front of the whole team, and he's going to show the tape of the second play of the game, and I know what he's going to say in front of the other players. Jonathan, what in the world were you thinking about on this play? If you can't play the position, son, I'll find somebody else who'll make the block. He will embarrass me in front of the whole team. I don't want to go to school because he might show the tape. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is going to show the tape.
It's an uncomfortable feeling, isn't it?
Find me a tape eraser.
Right?
Let's look at the final thing, the reward. He told the first guy, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you a few things, but I'm going to put you in charge of many. Now, stay with me here. He told the one who received two talents, hey, you did two, you multiplied them to four. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. Powerful. First of all, they got public praise. Well done. Secondly of all, they got elevated positions. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Because, and this is a whole nother subject. We don't have time to talk about heaven. You do not fly around playing harps all day. All right? And I'm going to describe heaven for you. Heaven is going to be a busy place. There's going to be stuff happening all the time. I mean, all day long, and it's only day, so it's perpetually. Everybody will have different roles and responsibilities. People who are high on earth will become low in heaven. People who are low on earth will become high in heaven. People who are big folks up here might be street sweepers on Camp Wisdom in heaven, okay? Because it's, the Bible says there's going to be a lot of reversals in heaven based on what you did now. So that's a whole discussion of what heaven will be like. Heaven is not an equal opportunity employer. Everybody is not equal in heaven. Well, we're all going to be equal in heaven. You have not read the Bible. That's not what the Bible says, as you'll see in a moment. So he says, I'm going to give you these rewards. 2 John 8 says, God wants our reward to be full. He wants us to get all the stuff coming to us. So the first two stewards, because they had invested time, talents, and treasures, got affirmation, elevation, and the joy of the Lord. But here's the third servant. I'll slow for brother. He said, you verse 27, you ought to put my money in the bank, but you didn't. Didn't even do a little thing. Therefore, take away the talent from him. The one thing I gave him, take it away and give it to the one with 10 talents. Now that's embarrassing. You didn't use what I had, so I'm going to take what I gave you and I'm going to give it to somebody else who didn't even do that much, but I'm going to give them more of what you should have gotten, so you're going to watch your reward basket empty out while it's being handed to other people right in front of your eyes. He goes on and he tells them, he gives them a stinging rebuke. He calls them wicked and lazy, and he puts him in what is called, verse 30, outer darkness. Now this is not hell. All three slaves are Christians. This is not hell. Out of darkness is not hell. It literally can be translated the darkness outside. That means exclusion from participation in the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. In other words, you will be there as a non-participant. You ever watch a hockey game? When a hockey player fouls, he's put in the what? Penalty box. Is he still on the team? Yes, he's not on the ice though. He is outside. I love, even to the day, amusement parks, roller coasters, you know, the whole thing. The wilder the ride, the more fun I have. And we were supposed to go to the amusement park, like a little Six Flags called Gwin Oaks Amusement Park. And I was bad that day. I'd done something wrong, one of the few times, but I'd done something wrong. My father comes down the steps, corrects me, and he says to me three words, no ride today. And I was upset, no ride today. Looking forward to the wild mouse, to the roller coaster. He says, no ride today. And I thought to myself, well, boy, I just go stay home and look at television. He said, oh, no. You are going with us, but no ride today. Are you with me? I had to sit in the car while my two brothers and sisters talked about, we're going to have fun. We got to the park. And I had to watch as they got in line with my father, and he bought the tickets and handed my brother his set, my other brother his set, my sister her set, and told me, have a seat. I sat down, and you know how kids are, especially siblings. They get off the roller coaster and come by me and say, "Oh, you ought to have been there. That was so much fun." I said, "But Daddy, please." He said, "No ride today." It's a terrible thing to watch folk having fun, have to be there, and you not be able to have fun with them. And in the kingdom, God will say to many of us, based on our lack of stewardship here, "No ride today. No ride today." How long? It varies. Some people will be in the penalty box a year. Others will be in the penalty box 100 years. The kingdom is 1,000 years long before you even enter into eternity. We haven't got to eternity yet. Some will be in the penalty box 500 years. And you'll get to watch in a perfect body, which means you'll feel it more than you can feel it down here. Ooh, you didn't know about that part of heaven, huh? He's cast in the outer darkness where there is gnashing of teeth or deep regret, profound regret. So let me conclude. One day, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to die. I hope for nobody in this room it's soon, but the reality is you are going to die. And when you do, you will say goodbye to condos, houses, cars, and bank accounts. And you will become a faint memory over time. How many of you spend time thinking about your great-grandfather? He may, she may, grandmother may pop up in your mind every now and then, but over time, the best you're going to become is a memory. So you know what you better do? Let me tell you what you're going to do. Now listen to me now. Start rewriting your obituary now. Hello? Start. Don't wait till tomorrow because you don't know when your time is up. Start rewriting your obituary now. Some of you have been shaken by this message because if you were to die right now and God would expose your tape, it would be the greatest embarrassing moment in eternity. And you're saying, "What can I do, preacher?" You know what you need to do? Begin editing your life. Begin editing your life so that what shows up in eternity has been edited by your future activity. You cannot fix yesterday, but you can make tomorrow so strong it'll override yesterday. See, if you've been unfaithful steward for the last 5 years, you cannot change the last 5 years, but you can turn the next 5 years into a doozy. You can say, "Lord, I messed up for 5 years. I haven't been serving you, giving hardly any money to you, giving you no time, no talent, but I'm going to run now, and I'm going to pick up speed, and I'm going to kick up into a sprint so that when God reviews your tape, he says, 'When I look at this 5 years, you lost your reward, but I see you regained it in the last 5 years.'" Welcome home. Welcome home.
Dr. Tony Evans, with hopeful advice to get you back on track. Well, today's message was the last in Dr. Evans' series, The Principles of Christian Stewardship. Now, maybe you missed a few installments along the way, or perhaps you'd like to review the full-length version of these lessons or share them with your Bible study or Sunday school group. Well, we're making this available as a 2-volume collection on CD or DVD. The 16 different messages cover every aspect of stewardship, from its laws to its rewards. Or today only, you can get Volume 2 of this series on CD as our thank you gift when you help keep our ministry strong with a contribution of any size. And don't forget, as a special bonus, we'd also like to send you the devotional book, 30 Days to Financial Victory. So be sure to make the arrangements right away at TonyEvans.org. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. Staff members are always ready to help you, so there's never a reason to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. God has created a wonderful process that turns ordinary people into sold-out saints. The Bible calls it discipleship. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans begins a brand new series on that subject called Followers, Not Fans. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.